what is the gift that everybody can give? So I'm really excited to hear the message that we have today, because, you know, I got some bets on what it could be. But I'd like to call up Brother Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, brother. Thank you. Love you, too. Good morning. I'd like to thank Walt for the message last week. It was a really incredible message, and reflecting upon it, it's easy to sort of think about the battle being sort of between us and the spirit of the world. And he brought home that the battle that we should really be concerned with is between the spirit of the world inside of us and the spirit of God that should sort of take that spot. And it's always fun when you put these messages together independently, and then you see how in God's economy things fit together afterwards. And it doesn't really dovetail one into the other, but it's interesting, because my message is really about what it is that we can do with that spirit of God that replaces that spirit of the world. And so in at least that way, it does fit together. And thank you very much, Walt, for that introduction this morning. Sometimes Pastor Aaron introduces me, and it's a little bit embarrassing, because he always says these really, really, really nice things that I don't deserve. And but I thought about it, and I thought, you know, it's really kind of okay, because Carlin says really mean things about me, and I don't deserve that either, so it really balances out. So either way is fine. All right. So the suspense will end. The one thing that I'm talking about this morning, that one gift that anyone can give, is encouragement. There's certainly a lot of gifts that anyone can give, but that's what I'm going to focus on this morning. So, Walter, I hope you've won a lot of money in the pool. So. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to share your message in your house, and just have this opportunity to gather together in fellowship and to praise you, Lord. I just ask that your spirit would speak through me this morning, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It was a bad day to have to wear clothes. I think I'm going to lose 10 pounds up here, but... So encouragement is something that is very important to me. I'm very passionate about encouragement, but I have to admit that I'm not an expert at encouragement. And in fact, I'm often sort of haunted by times where I could have been encouraging and I wasn't encouraging. One example I'll give you, this is many, many years ago. I think it was probably like 1985 or so. And I worked in Sacramento for the family business, and I had a service truck, and I was out in the back of my service truck, and I was reorganizing things, throwing the McDonald's cups away, and, you know, straightening the tools and the parts and that kind of thing. And our business was right next to a 7-Eleven, and a guy had pulled up to the pumps. And I wasn't really paying attention, but next thing I knew, he came walking over behind me, and he had some tools in his hand. Excuse me. And he said, "Hey, man, would you be interested in buying some tools?" And it was about 105 degrees out there, and I was a bit irritated, and not with him, but just with what was going on. And I remember turning to him and saying, "No, man, I don't want to buy any tools." And then I looked back down, and I started doing what I was doing, and I don't know, off he walked. And of course, I don't know if it occurred to me in that moment or later, but the fact of the matter was that he didn't want to sell tools. He wanted to get some gasoline, and I had money in my pocket, and I could have said, "No, I don't need any tools. I have a truckload full of tools, but here's $10, which probably would have filled up a tank in 1985. But... Anyway, so I have often regretted that incident, because I'm just not proud of my behavior. You know, and we don't live in the past, we live, you know, in the present, and we look forward to the future. but it's just something that bothers me. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm passionate about it. I'll give you another example. Pastor Scott did a message a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about preparing his messages, and he was talking about people that helped him. And he said in the message, he said, you know, for instance, I have Mike, and he pointed to me right there. He says, I have Mike who gives me suggestions. So, and what he meant was that, you know, we get copies of the outlines and stuff, and sometimes I'll look at it, or I'm putting the bulletins together, and I'll see this word, and I'll say, hey, you know, maybe instead of this word, you know, this word. And he's very gracious to, you know, receive my suggestions, which I have no, he has no reason to accept them, but he's very gracious about it. And then he said, and then there's James, and he said, and James encourages me. and I thought that it's important to have people in your life who tell you things, okay? It's important that if you're going to say something and there's a better way to say it, that, you know, you get feedback, that kind of thing. It's important if you have a booger on your nose and you don't know about it, that somebody comes up to you with a tissue and says, hey, you know, you might want to wipe your nose, because you don't then walk around with that all day and then discover at the end of the day, you know, that happened and nobody had the nerve to come up to you and tell you, or that your zipper's down, you know, and you're walking around and you're saying hi to everybody, you know, and your zipper's down, and everybody's like, your zipper's down, but nobody says anything, you know, but there's an embarrassment factor that comes with that conversation, and so you appreciate the fact that you didn't walk around with a boogie on your nose, but on the other hand, the embarrassing fact that somebody had to come up and tell you that doesn't make you want to hug them and sit down and go have lunch with them. What makes you want to do that is an encourager, and James, for instance, is an encourager. If you've ever fished with James, like, you know, I know less about fishing than James has forgotten, and everything I know about fishing I learned from James. And if you're fishing with James, you're like catching bait, and you're up on the cliff, and boom, you hook into a mamo, you know, a mamo, it's about this big, and you reel it up, James will come over and he'll be like, oh man, that's a beautiful mamo. That's like the best bait fish ever. Look at the color on there. Oh man, that's awesome. You know, and in the meantime, he will have hooked 36 and 37 of his mamas. You know, and that was your first one. But that's the way that he is, because that's true. It's true. Because that's a gift that he has, and you know, that's a really, really cool thing. That's something that we should all aspire to. As we get older, I want to say me, as I get older, it's funny to look back and think about the things that you aspire to. You know, when you're younger, you know, you want to make bazillions of dollars, and you want to both be a movie star and an astronaut on the moon, and, you know, all sorts of crazy, stupid things that, you know, really aren't achievable. And your goals and your aspirations, they change, they get adjusted over time. And for me personally, it's just funny to think about, you know, things that I wanted 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, they really aren't important to me. Now what's important is, you know, are my kids, Ashley and Scott and Ellie and Annie and John, are they healthy and are they happy and do they love the Lord? Those are things that are important to me. And things like, you know, avoiding regrets, not wanting to repeat that incident, you know, that occurred, you know, where a guy needed $5 for gas so he could get on with his life, you know, that kind of thing. Those are the things that are important. In the NASB version of the Bible, which is kind of now my preferred, the version that I like to read, the word encouragement, or forms of encouragement, encourager, encouraging, encouragement, only occurs 48 times in the whole entire Bible, which was kind of surprising to me. And it occurs 31 times in the New Testament. And it's sort of peppered one or two times within just about every book of the New Testament. except for the book of Acts. The book of Acts, it occurs 12 times. And this thing is made for people who have detached earlobes, and mine is not. And so if somebody would come detach my earlobe, it would be great. It occurs 12 times in Acts. And it's not surprising because Acts, if you're not familiar with the Bible, Acts is like Luke 2. It's the second book of Luke. The first book of Luke covers, you know, before the birth of Christ on through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. The second book of Luke, which is Acts, covers from the resurrection of Jesus Christ through really the starting of the first century Christian church. And so the first century church, like Jesus Christ, was born into a time of really great struggle and strife. You know, there was both the Jews and the Romans who persecuted the Christian church incredibly. And so, really, honestly, those people literally needed encouragement to survive. This morning's message is based upon a verse, one of my favorite verses. It's 2 Timothy 1:6, and it says, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." That's in the NASB. And in the NIV, it says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into a flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And I actually prefer that image of fanning the flame versus kindling the flame, but it really means the same thing in this context, but they're really great images of what it is that Paul's looking for, and I'll explain that a little bit more later. You may notice that that the word encourage or encouragement or encourager isn't in this verse at all, but this message is about encouragement, and this is really the key verse for it. And I would suggest to you that really encourage is all over this verse. And here's what I mean by that. If you look at the first part of the verse is, "For this reason I remind you." And so what Paul's saying is, look, this is really, really important, and I'm encouraging you to listen to what I'm saying and actually take action upon it. The second part of the verse is to fan into a flame. If you've ever camped, and I don't mean here where you wake up in the morning and it's 66 degrees outside. I mean, like, if you've camped in some place where you wake up in the morning and your water is frozen, the very first thing that you do, the first person who gets up out of the sleeping bag runs over to where the campfire was and bends over and starts blowing on those coals. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to encourage those coals to glow so you can put some kindling on there so you can get a fire and you can start warming up. And then you make that coffee and then you do everything else that you need to do to survive as a human being. But it's super, super important. So fanning those coals or blowing on those coals is literally encouraging those things to glow and then to turn back into a fire again. And then the last part contains this phrase, "through the laying on of my hands." And in the Christian world or in Christianese, laying on of hands means a lots of different things. One thing that it means, like when we pray for people, you'll have a group of people who stand around who are also praying who lay hands on that person. They'll physically touch that person's back. And or Pastor Scott will say, "Reach out a hand," and then you're symbolically laying hands on that person as we pray for that person. But it also means to put work or to apply effort or to disciple, you know, to get down and dirty and to dig into a person's life and to help them to become the best version of themselves. And so when I read this part of this verse, "through the laying on of my hands," I really think that what that's doing is it's physically encouraging somebody again to be the best version of themselves. And it's not just this verse. It's actually this entire book of 2 Timothy. It's all about basically about encouragement. And if you're familiar with the Bible, the Apostle Paul wrote the lion's share of the New Testament. And he went through some just crazy things, these missionary trips they're called, you know, where he traveled around and he really single-handedly with a group of helpers, you know, planted the first century Christian church all around the Mediterranean region. And he was shipwrecked and imprisoned and bit by snakes and beaten and imprisoned again and just on and on and on and on and just all these crazy things. And yet all the way through, he was really super encouraging and engaged with these people. But when you go to the book of 2 Timothy, it's different. In the book of 2 Timothy, Paul's not running around fighting the good fight. Paul's in prison, which was a goal of his. He was actually working towards the goal of getting before the Roman court and actually being able to speak to Caesar and the Roman rulers and being able to, you know, talk about, you know, who Jesus Christ was. But it was to his death. He was in prison. He was about to be executed. And he's writing to Timothy, who's his friend, who stuck with him through thick and thin. And he wants to encourage him. He wants to take this moment and he wants to say to him, essentially, I might never talk to you again. And so what I'm saying here is important. Listen to what I'm saying and act upon it. So this verse starts off with, for this reason. And you might wonder, why? What's the reason? And that's a very good question. So if we go back to the prior verse, 2 Timothy 1:5, it says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So for this reason was, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. So what Paul's saying in 2 Timothy 1:6 is, for this reason, because you have this sincere faith, I am reminding you to fan that faith into a flame, because it's going to be important. It's going to be important for you, and it's going to be important for the church around you. So the question that I hope to answer this morning, if you end up agreeing with what I'm saying, is why must we encourage? And there's 3 points in your bulletin if you're following along. There will be a test. The first point is, in terms of why must we encourage, is that people are discouraged. In my work life, I work for a company in the Sacramento area. I work remotely, and I have a team of 14 people, and I have 7 of those people are salespeople, and I have the great pleasure of getting together with this wonderful group of friends who I have known for between 7 years and 25 years. I've known them and worked together with them, and I love them, and I greatly appreciate the blessing that I have of being able to work with them. But we get together annually. Of course, we missed a couple years for COVID, and one of the first things that I like to do when I'm with them is I like to go through a list that they generated for me many years ago, which is some things that I need to work on. How do I need to be a better boss to you? And they were very, very happy to share with me some of their ideas. And so I've kept these 6. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, that's okay. No problem. I've kept this list of 6 things. I have them printed out. There was actually 30 of them, but I picked these 6. No, there are 6. I keep it on a piece of paper to the right of my monitor up on the wall because I want to be able to have it there, and I want to be able to reflect upon it, and I want to be able to try to improve upon these things over time. And the third one is encouragement. Everyone needs more of it. And this is what they told me. Hey, you know, it's great that you tell me that there's something right here, but what I really need from you is encouragement. And so it's really an important aspect in terms of being able to be that the best version of the person that you can be. In Exodus chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, it says this, I will bring you, so this is Moses talking here, This is the Lord talking. So, but here, let me just read it, and you'll get the context. It's basically the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt. They were working. They were being abused. It was a terrible situation. And it says, "I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." So Moses said this to the sons of Israel, but they didn't listen to Moses on the account of their despondency and cruel bondage. So their situations were such that Moses was trying to encourage them through the words of God, but they were so down that they couldn't even hear the encouragement that God was sharing with them. Encouragement, as my list said, you don't need to go back to there, Lena, I'm sorry. Everyone does need more of it. The second point that I would make in terms of why we must encourage people is that people need to see a way out. In Psalm 68, verse 20, it says that God is to us a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong ways of escape from death. So, I have a friend, and this guy is an amazing human being. He has exciting work. He's respected by his peers. He has a wonderful, beautiful wife and beautiful children. And he's just kind of the guy that everybody would like to be. And he was having a struggle, personal struggle. One day he went to a place physically separate from his family. And he was with the three D's. The three D's would be depression, drinking, and a discourager. And whatever conversation was taking place with either this person or the enemy spun the conversation in his head. A direction that was the worst possible direction, such that he reached a point where he felt as though, in his mind, he was of more value dead than he was alive to his family and to his friends. And in a split second, he ended his life. And I know that if he had a half a second to look back, it never would have happened. But I also know that you can't go back. You can't go back. We don't have the opportunity to live time in reverse. And you can't go back from those things. And so it's just all woulda, coulda, shoulda. But we have a takeaway from that, because instead of being a discourager, we can be an encourager. And if he had an encourager with him in that moment, I have no doubt that he would have awoken the next morning with a really bad hangover, but the sun would have come up and he would have felt better about his life and the way that things were going. But we have, like Walt said last week, that spirit of the world is replaced with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God talks to us. And the Spirit of God nudges us. And the Spirit of God will tell us who we should encourage. And if we're sensitive to that, we can be in position to be the encourager in those situations and to protect more lives. The third reason that we want to be encouragers is that encouragement elevates others. I said it a couple times. It's all about being the best version of yourself, making somebody the best version of themselves. God created each person with this incredible potential, and so often that potential is stifled because of what's going on in their lives, their surroundings. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says this, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing." There's an image that Lena's going to show where this photographer, and I apologize that I don't know the name. I wish I would have grabbed the name and given credit appropriately, because it's not only beautiful pictures, but it's a great experiment in human psychology. This right here, I hope you can see it, but it's before and after pictures of each person. And if you kind of go through there and you look at each one of them, you can see that there's a difference between the before and after. And the difference is rather profound and extreme in a good way. And the only difference between picture one and picture two is that for each of these people, just before picture two was snapped, the photographer lowered the camera, looked down, and said, "You're beautiful." It's incredible. You know, what a little bit of encouragement can do in a person's life, how much it can change them. I think that there are a few different kinds of encouragement. This is by no sense any exhaustive list, but as I was thinking about encouragement, I thought that there was situational encouragement. Situational encouragement is like you're watching TV, you're watching a baseball game on TV, you're cheering for the Dodgers, you're wondering why you're so stupid for doing that, but it's your human nature, you can't help it. And when you're cheering for a team on television, or you know, you're a Green Bay Packers fan and you're wearing a big piece of cheese on your head and you're wearing these shirts and you're yelling for this team, you're cheering for this team, it's kind of silly, not because, you know, I mean, obviously it's silly fun, but it's kind of silly because it's ineffective. And then there's nothing that you're going to do that's going to change the outcome of anything. They're not going to hear you. They're not going to be uplifted by the cheese you're wearing on your head. But still, it's one of those things that we do. Another kind of encouragement is familial encouragement. A familial encouragement would be like, you know, "Oh, good job, Billy, you made your bed," you know, or, you know, that kind of thing. Or you got good grades, that's great, that's awesome. You know, and those kinds of bits of encouragement, the familial encouragement, it has some value to it because there's positive motivation. And it comes from this desire as humans to give unconditional love. You know, we aspire to give unconditional love, and we even say we give unconditional love to the people that we love, but we don't, really. We give love, and only God can give unconditional love. We give love with conditions. You know, we say, you know, "Oh, I love you no matter what, but just don't do this," you know, or "don't do that," or, you know, or whatever. Or maybe we don't say it, but we sort of subconsciously think it because, you know, we deal in this world of justice. And so there's value in that familial sense of encouragement, but there's also spiritual encouragement. And spiritual encouragement is when we speak into somebody's life, like this verse is talking about, but we steer them towards God, towards God's love, towards who they are in God's eyes. So that kind of encouragement has incredible value because it points them towards the one who really has true, unfailing, unconditional love. There's a Christian festival music festival called Spirit West Coast. Many years ago, it was used to be down in the hills up above Monterey. And I have a friend who asked me to be on a ministry team. So I had this backstage pass thing, and we could kind of go in every area. And my daughter Ellie went with me. And it was a really, really great experience because, we got to, we got to hang out. We got to see a lot of really great acts, and we got to kind of go into these areas where people don't get to go and see what goes on. We got to pray with a lot of people. But I had one of the most profound experiences at this concert. There was a band called Paul Coleman Trio. Does anybody remember the Paul Coleman Trio? Well, anyway, Paul Coleman's from Australia, and I think he was in the Newsboys for a while as well. But he's a really great musician, and his music was really phenomenal. And he's a really great communicator. And I remember standing right up against the wall over here to this side, the stage being right here. And right over here was a gal who was doing American Sign Language, and everything that they were saying or singing, she was repeating. And it was the first time I remember being at a concert and seeing this take place. I think it's commonplace now for it to happen, but it was the first time I had ever seen it there. And so being right in front of her, I got to get a good view of her. She was a young gal. I don't remember how old, but she was younger than me, and I remember she just had this beautiful smile on her face, and she never said anything, but how you look at somebody and you watch them for a while, and you sort of get an idea of what kind of person that they are, and I remember thinking that she's probably kind of a shy person. If she were standing on the stage and she had to talk to people, and the words that she was sharing, either with sign language or verbally, were her own, she probably wouldn't do it. But that she was being a conduit through which Paul Coleman and the music and the words that he was saying were directed through her to a group of people who couldn't hear but were still able to appreciate what was going on, that she was very, very comfortable in that space. And, sorry, I don't know why I'm emotional now. So I remember that Paul Coleman was talking, it was in between songs, and he was talking to the audience. And as he was talking, he was migrating towards this gal, and she didn't realize, and she just kept signing. And then he stopped talking to the audience, and he started talking to her. And he was just saying these affirmations to her, and she was repeating these affirmations, but she didn't realize that he was talking to her. And she either sensed him getting close, or she saw their eyes turn toward her, and she looked over her shoulder, and he was right there, and she stopped. And Paul Coleman was like, "No, don't stop. Keep going. You tell them everything that I'm saying." And he just continued to affirm her and talk about who she was in God and how God felt about her and the things that God did for her. And pretty soon, she's crying over here. And, it wasn't funny, but it was beautiful. And then the next thing you know, there's 30,000 people who are standing here crying because this one guy's saying nice things to this gal over here, and it was just the most profound thing that somebody could do something so simple, that somebody could give a gift that anyone could give to a human being that affected 30,000 people in a positive way, such that 20 years later, 15 years later, however long it is, I'm standing here, you know, talking to you about it right now. You know, nobody raised their hand when I asked if you knew about that his band or his music, but that story is continuing on today. And that was just a little, tiny, simple bit of encouragement. Did you know that you can personalize scripture? I hope that you can. We see it all the time in worship. The worship team's up here. In fact, worship team, go ahead and come back up. The worship team's up here, and you'll notice the words of the worship songs that they're singing are words of scripture. And so they'll say these words of scripture, and they'll repeat them again and again. And very often, the writer of the song will take those words, and they will turn those words into an I statement or a me statement. So instead of, you know, God loves you, it's God loves me, and we're singing that over and over again. We're encouraging ourselves or one another. So I wanted to share with you from the MIV, which is Mike's International Version, 2 Timothy 1:6, and I want to encourage you all to do this as well. When you read scripture, you want to do this as often as is appropriate. And so if I take this verse right here and I apply it to my life, which I told you I'm passionate about encouragement, but I need to be better at it. And so this is my reminder to me. Maybe this message is more for me than it is for you. But what I would say, or what this verse would say to me is, Mike, I encourage you to encourage others by working in the lives of those within your sphere of influence. Some of the best Bible quotes are about the Bible, but they're not things in the Bible. Now, and I wrote that, and I want to say the reverse is true. There's a lot of things that people say, like God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible, okay? There's a lot of things that people say that they attribute to, money is the root of all evil, when the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. So there's a lot of things that people say they attribute to the Bible, and they're not necessarily good. But there's two things that I wanted to leave you with, which are sort of quotes about the Bible. They're not in the Bible, but they're supported by scripture. And the first one is, preach the gospel, always use words if necessary. And this very much is the philosophy that's behind this encouragement thing. Sometimes to be encouraging, we don't even need to say anything. We can just go be responsive to the Spirit of God and do things that will touch people's lives. Lay hands on those lives. The other one is be Jesus with skin on. So Jesus isn't here personally now, but Jesus is, come on up, Steve. But we are Jesus's body. We are the body of Christ. And so it is just something that we need to do. These are reasons or ways in which we can share the reason for the hope that we have that lies within us. And these are ways that we can encourage one another. And wow, I was going to say you disappeared. That was a miracle. Can you pray for us?
Sure.
Thank you.
How about we give Mike a hand first? Yeah. So today is the first Sunday of September. Can you believe the year is flying by? And Pastor Scott has designated the first Sunday of every month as Communion Sunday. So we're going to be taking communion. If you don't have one of these communion, could you please raise your hand and they will bring you one? Does everybody have? Looks like everybody's good. Okay.
So what I want to do now is I want to just talk to you a little bit about communion. What is communion? And it's a common union. So what do we all have in common? We all have in common Jesus Christ. And that is the most important thing that brings us together while we come together to celebrate communion for our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one that gives our life meaning. He's the one that gives us a reason to be here. As Mike was saying, that's what we were created for, was to love one another and to love God. So Jesus and his apostles were in the upper room. This is before the crucifixion. And he is talking to them and he is telling them that they are very important to him, and we are also very important to him. And so if you have your little cup, if you could take the bread out first. And from Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." If you take a bite from the bread. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I will tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now until the time I do it with you in my Father's kingdom." And he said, "To do this in remembrance of me." And so when we take communion, we are remembering what Jesus did for us, that he lived 33 years, and the last 3 years of his life, he was a man, a prophet, a God. He was going out. He was the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the reason that we are here. He is the reason that we exist at all. So I want to just pray for our service today, and I want to pray over our communion. So if you will bow your heads with me. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, your only Son, that he would come here and that he would die on the cross for our sins, for us, that we would be in a common union with him. We would be in a common family, that would be in a common relationship. We are brothers and sisters. We are sons and daughters of the Most High Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, our God. And Lord, we thank you today that we get to go out, as Mike said, and encourage people, encourage one another. There is so much discouraging news on the TV. There's so much discouraging news that's going around the world, in politics, in everything. But we have that common union in Jesus Christ. And the church says,
amen.
God bless you all. Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Pastor Z. Hey, Mike, thank you so much. You know, if you... Okay. If you ever want to know what's going on in this church, Mike, he has a pulse. Yeah. He knows, man, because he's always finding out what's going on so he can encourage us. So, you know, it's not going to cost you much to encourage somebody. You know, when you go through the supermarket line, when you see that cashier in training sign. How many of you avoid that line? No. I go through that line and I tell them, "Hey, good job, man." And they say, "Oh, sorry. Great job. You're doing a great job." And I bet you, you know, that goes a long way. When you go to the TSA, "Thank you for keeping us safe, man. I appreciate you." They look at you like, "Really? You got to take off half your clothes and go through this line and you appreciate us?" Yes, because you're keeping us from blowing up in the middle of the sky. But it doesn't take much. So when you go out, just purposely look for ways that you can encourage one another. And as I look at you, this is my word to you. You are all so beautiful. Yes, you are. So I'm going to, you know what? I'm not going to dismiss you because, you know what, we have potluck today. So I'm going to dismiss you too. Give us a few seconds to get ready, get the food out. Because we had to hide the food from the morning guys or else it would have been gone. So I'm going to pray and bless the food. Lord, thank you so much that we get to break bread with one another once again. It's been so many years since we did this. Lord, I ask that you would bless this food, that it will nourish, it will strengthen, and it will heal our bodies. And as we sit down and break bread, let us encourage one another. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So hang around. We have some food. We're going to break bread, sit down, talk stories with somebody you don't know, and encourage one another. So thank you so much, Mike. Thank you, Elaine, for, you know, keeping him good.